The thing is, the parliament isn't the parliament because a lot of people are missing because of the Maidan takeover, and there hasn't been a general election. So there hasn't been a general election. This guy is now being posed as the president by a parliament that's not the parliament. Russia, the only country with an effective nuclear answer available versus the U.S., is confronting Ukraine borders right now with helicopter gunships. Helicopter gunships, jets, heavily armed troops. While apparently, well, and 150,000 troops, while apparently harboring the elected president of Ukraine. This is an extremely tense situation. The Crimean Peninsula, which holds the Russian Black Sea Fleet and which was given to Ukraine SSR by, let's see, was it Khrushchev or Stalin? 1954 it was Khrushchev, I guess, is in play now as pro-Russian militia in the hundreds have seized the parliament there and hold it by force. So two parliaments are displaced. And meanwhile, the U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has warned Russia not to intervene. The situation is changing as I speak. One way to keep track of it is to use Twitter. This from the globeandmail.com a few minutes ago. Ukraine's sovereignty over the southern region of Crimea appeared to be under threat as Russian-backed fighters moved dozens of kilometers outside their base in the Black Sea port, establishing a checkpoint on the main road connecting Sevastopol to the regional capital. President Vladimir Putin also ordered the Russian military and its central and western commands, more than 150,000 troops with hundreds of tanks and helicopter gunships, to be put on alert for war games in the areas bordering Ukraine. Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu characterized the maneuver as a snap military drill similar to others Mr. Putin has ordered in the past in other parts of the country. Crimea's long history at the center of regional conflicts has a long history at the center of regional conflicts. Russian military action in Ukraine would be a grave mistake, quoting Secretary of State John Kerry. Ukraine, they write, draws Obama into Putin's long game. And I think one could certainly argue that Obama has drawn Putin into Obama's long game. From Voice of Russia this morning, Ukraine's ousted President Viktor Yanukovych asks Russia to ensure his personal security as he fears radical actions on the part of extremists that, according to his statement, seized power in the country. Quoting, I am receiving threats and I have to ask Russia to ensure my personal security, end quote. That's from Voice of Russia. Meanwhile, Ukraine prosecutors, they write, opened a terror probe into the Crimea raid. And that's referring to the fact that hundreds of pro-Russian Ukrainians have seized by force the parliament there. Quoting Yanukovych again, events taking place at Verkhovna Radna are illegal in the absence of members of the Party of Regions and other factions. He's talking about what has happened at in Kiev, I believe. The Russian authorities have met Viktor Yanukovych's request on ensuring his personal security. Quoting, considering that President Yanukovych has appealed to the Russian authorities to ensure his personal security, I am informing you that this request has been granted on the territory of the Russian Federation. That's a Russian government source. Earlier it was reported, they say, that ousted Ukrainian President Yanukovych is in Russia. I guess that's a kind of a given. Pardon me as I stumble on this. This is a situation that is changing up to the moment, and you are being ill-served by the U.S. press at this moment. This is an extremely tense situation, as I was saying, simply because of the powers that are at odds and because of the amount of military force that is at play at the moment, because of the situation. As I was reporting last week, Svoboda has been very much in the vanguard of the actions in Ukraine, and I'm sorry to keep bringing them up, but, you know, if you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. Svoboda is literally a bunch of Nazis. And they have You know, Nazis are very proud of their ability to murder. And Ukraine protesters, sadly, were shot by snipers as the whole deal was going down this week. And some tens of people are dead in that manner. But it is important to know and to remember that the snipers were being confronted with rifles. They were being shot at. They were shooting back. It is not clear who shot first. It's not a matter of some Occupy-like protest being gunned down or whatever scenario you want to frame like that, innocent, unarmed protesters. No, it's more complex than that. And I guess maybe a sub-theme of this program over the decades is embrace complexity. Things are complex right now. There are Nazis in Kiev. Something to keep in mind. Now, returning to Voice of Russia, Yanukovych says he is the legitimate president of Ukraine. And he urges to restore constitutional order. It's not clear whether that means he's urging Russia to help him restore constitutional order or where he's going with that. Speaking for myself, this person is obviously grotesquely corrupt. And I think that peaceful protests, or maybe more, was legitimate against him. But he has, in fact, been removed by military action. Another thing to bear in mind. And right now, military action is what is happening in Crimea. If you remember your high school history and geography, Crimea is looks like an island in the Black Sea. It's actually connected, so it is technically a peninsula. It was the site of the Crimean War, and as my housemate Will was pointing out this morning, that was in 1853 to 56. Oh, my high school history teacher is frowning at me now. And that involved Russia, and it also involved France and Britain and the Ottoman Empire. And it was the first war that was really a media war. That's where you get the Charge of the Light Brigade. And the famous nurse, I miss a point on the history test. Anyway, Crimea is at play here, and it is chock full of people aligned with Russia and Russians. And it has been a part, pardon me, of Ukraine since Ukraine was constituted in more or less its current borders by the USSR. And to back off a little bit more, Ukraine has an east-west split ideologically and in terms of alignment between more or less Europe and Germany on the west and Russia in the east. And Crimea has been the playground of many, many Russians for a long time. And it is also the site of the Black Sea Fleet. Bear all these things in mind, and you will see why the fact that there are 90 jet aircraft, helicopter gunships, tanks, and 15,000 troops at play, and a situation where you have one parliament in Kiev taken by brute force, a parliament in Crimea taken by brute force. They are taken by opposing factions. This is extremely difficult. And it's not clear at this point how it's going to work out. Again, from Voice of Russia, quoting Yanukovych, addressing the people of Ukraine, he said, "I still consider myself to be the legitimate leader of the Ukrainian state, elected on the basis of Ukrainian citizens' free will. I cannot remain indifferent to tragic events in my home country. I consider the agreement on the settlement of crisis in Ukraine, signed on February 21st, 2014 by myself and Ukrainian opposition leaders, not fulfilled. There is rampant extremism on the streets of our country. My supporters and I receive threats of inflicting bodily harm." And he says, "I have to ask the Russian authorities to provide personal security from extremists for me." Here's a Canadian version of this news from theprovince.com slightly more than an hour ago this morning. Dateline Kiev. Russia sent fighter jets to patrol the border with Ukraine, reportedly gave shelter to the country's fugitive president, and stood by as pro-Russian gunmen stormed offices of a strategic region, deepening the crisis for Ukraine's new government even as it was being formed. And departing from this script already, the update on that is that there are actual Russian roadblocks being formed, I believe somewhere near the naval base there in the Black Sea. Returning to theprovince.com, the moves pose an immediate challenge to Ukraine's new authorities as they seek to set up an interim government for the country, whose population is divided in loyalties between Russia and the West. Ukraine's new prime minister said the country's future lies in the European Union, but with friendly relations with Russia. Some 150,000 Russian soldiers carried out military exercises, and fighter jets patrolled the border. A respected Russian news organization reported that Yanukovych was staying in a Kremlin sanatorium just outside Moscow. And then it quotes what I just mentioned from Voice of Russia. And Alexander Turchynov, who stepped in as acting president after Yanukovych's flight, condemned the takeover of government buildings in Crimea as, quote, a crime against the government of Ukraine. He warned that any move by Russian troops off their base in Crimea will be considered a military aggression. He said, unidentified people with automatic weapons, explosives, and grenades have taken over the governmental buildings and parliament building in the autonomous region of Crimea. I have given orders to the military to use all methods necessary to protect the citizens, punish the criminals, and free the buildings. In Kyiv, lawmakers chose Arseniy Yatsenyuk as the new prime minister. He will face the hugely complicated task of restoring stability in a country that is not only deeply divided politically, but on the verge of financial collapse. The 39-year-old served as economy minister, foreign minister, and parliamentary speaker before Yanukovych took office in 2010 and is widely viewed as a technocratic reformer who enjoys the support of the U.S. That would be the most significant phrase, enjoys the support of the U.S. Returning to the text shortly before lawmakers chose him as the leader of the new cabinet, Yatsenyuk said Ukraine doesn't want to fight with Russia, but insisted the country wouldn't accept the secession of the southern Crimea region. He said Crimea has been and will be a part of Ukraine. So I think I would like to invite your calls on this topic. The time is 9:16. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Talking about the explosive situation in Ukraine and Crimea and the Black Sea and the apparent lack of appropriate emphasis on this situation, which could, after all, result in nuclear arms being born. And Dan is on the air.
Teresa, good job as per usual. A couple of points that I'm sure you know, but just to share. First off, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, as far as what's happening there with the new leaders. But Victoria Nuland is on YouTube, Undersecretary of State, back in December, I believe it was, boasting to a conference in D.C. about the U.S. spending $5 billion to support the protesters there.
Was it five? So it was 5 million, wasn't it?
I'm sorry.
Wasn't it 5 million? I mean, they wouldn't admit to $5 billion, would they?
I may be wrong. I guess I stand corrected. But anyway, it was real money. That buys a lot of soup kitchen.
Yep.
And my second point, and of course it embraced complexity, as you say, there's no cause for being an apologist for Yanukovych. But on the other hand, let's transpose the situation to an American city where government buildings are taken over and where protesters are showering police for days and days and days with Molotov cocktails.
And grenades and rifles. I mean, once you get the rifles out, it's not a protest.
And then think, I mean, you can't, as somebody wrote recently, you can't sneeze on an American cop without him pulling a gun. So I decry the loss of life, but if something similar was happening in the States and it kept on, there would have been many, many hundreds shot by the police. So we need to keep this in perspective. It's very scary, and the horrible thing is it's also fascinating as it unfolds before our eyes, but we're playing with fire here.
Yes, thank you very much for putting it that way. It is fascinating, and we are playing with fire. That's a great phrase. To add to the complexity, thank you for that call. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. This just in the Crimean Parliament, which, as I was saying, has been displaced by pro-Russian, well, military who have knocked them out of their parliament building, are offering May 25th as a referendum date. And this is apparently, they must be meeting somewhere else. And this is from, let's see, First Channel News. Two issues will be considered, and I picked it up from Twitter. Two issues will be considered at an extraordinary session of the Crimean Supreme Council. A Crimean referendum. I'm sorry, I stayed up too late and I'm just stumbling over these words. And government reports. Crimean Parliament Chairman Volodymyr Konstantinov said two issues will be put forward on this extraordinary session. Holding the Crimea-wide referendum on May 25th on the broadening of powers for the Autonomous Republic of Crimea. The second issue, the economic situation in the Crimea and government reports. We are planning to consider these issues to meet the demands of those people who today are out in the streets in outrage, seeing no future prospects. The Crimean, that's the end of the quote, and the Crimean parliament, they write, continues working as usual, despite the events occurring in Ukraine and Crimea, he said, so they are meeting somewhere else. He said, the situation remains tense. A conflict started yesterday. Radical elements did not allow us to hold an extraordinary session of the Supreme Council. Following my resolution today, I organized the extraordinary Supreme Council session where we shall discuss issues of vital importance for our autonomies. More to that. And as I was saying, you can find that in other information on this very grave crisis in Crimea and the Ukraine right now. Number call 503-231-8187, and Thomas is on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Yeah, I think you're right. This is a very, very touch-and-go, dangerous situation. You know, and I, just to echo the previous caller, I wonder what would happen in the United States if Molotov cocktail throwers and rifle shooters descended on U.S. Capitol. I mean, we just have to look back to the recent presidential campaigns, the Democratic and Republican conventions in recent elections, and look at the preventative detention of peaceful protesters. We can only imagine by extension what would happen here, how many people might die. But, you know, as far as this fiasco in Ukraine, I think we're just getting another showcase of the United States is essentially zero tolerance for sharing international, power and sharing global economic power, and this further promulgation of this broad, bipartisan supported expansionist policy. I mean, the Democrats, are just absolutely chock full of the same sort of neocon thinkers that we so lauded, condemned the Bush administration for. You know, good old Zbigniew Brzezinski practically handpicked Obama's foreign policy team, I'm told, and this is the person that back under Carter launched Operation Cyclone, which was the CIA effort to destabilize Afghanistan and lure in the Russians. So and these are the people that backed and armed all of the extremists in Afghanistan. Look where we are today. I think we'd be well to look back and realize that a minimum of 20 million Soviet citizens, and that includes people from the Ukraine and other former Soviet republics, died fighting fascism. I mean, this is stuff that happened in their country, in their backyard. And this continued push of NATO, where you go back to when Gorbachev was coming in and attempting to instigate a lot of liberalization, and there's a lot of talks with the West from the Soviets. The idea was there were promises, there were a lot of talk made that NATO would by Western leaders that NATO would not be expanded into former Warsaw Pact countries. But look at what's happened, Democrat and Republican, particularly quarterbacked by Clinton, constantly pushing these huge NATO weapons sales. Right around the ring, what would the United States do if this happened in Mexico? And then finally, think about this. This whole situation with this economic package that was supposed to be given to Ukraine, this whole deal. Well, remember, the European Union said all or nothing. The Russians were willing to go with the European Union and have a joint deal to shore up the Ukrainian economy.
And they would almost certainly be looking at IMF-style austerity, a really grim prospect given how poor the Ukrainian economy is right now.
And that's the saddest thing, isn't it? Those poor people in Ukraine that had legitimate grievances over the corruption of Yanukovych, now they're really going to get a double whammy because, believe me, I mean, you look at the EU, and the model for them, the so-called model for them under the EU is not going to be Denmark or Germany. It's going to be what's being foisted and what's being put, all of the banking controls and all of the austerity is being foisted on the poor people of Spain or Greece. So, you know, we got to wait and see what happens here. This whole thing with the Russians, they have legitimate interests here. And, you know, we can look back a couple of years ago to the Georgian adventure when our little U.S.'s little buddy had his little adventure in South Ossetia and had his butt handed to him by the Red Army. And, you know, at some point, you got to realize Vladimir Putin, say what you will about his authoritarian tendencies, which are alarming, and say what you will about his, you know, his support for the negative anti-gay agenda, which is really not, is really distasteful and really problematical. Vladimir Putin isn't owned by anybody. He's his own man. He's his own leader. He's not like Obama, who's funded by corporate sponsors. You know, this is actually a real leader.
Yeah, he's often referred to as a strong man. And he certainly does have more authority, I would say, within his system than Obama has in his.
Yeah, so that's right. And so we're going to have to realize these are real people with real legitimate interests, and even if we don't agree with them politically, you know, this can't be a cover for the United States to just go in there with Western Europe and quarterback its huge NATO expansion and arms sales. And
I have to agree with what you're saying.
People.
I'm running out of time here, so I'll go back to a little bit more of the news here. And thank you very much for your call. I was saying that this news about the very tense situation in Ukraine is not getting its proper emphasis in the United States, given the potential for this situation to explode internationally. Well, it has exploded internationally in a way. It could get much worse. Just to go over the aspects of it that should be worrying to you. There are 15,000 troops on exercises on the border, Russian troops. There are 90 jet aircraft intermittently in the air. There are military gunships being flown near the border. There are tanks being positioned near the Ukraine border. There is a military roadblock just north of the Russian Black Sea Naval Base in Crimea. The Crimean Parliament has been taken over by very heavily armed, heavily armed in the context of bringing their own arms inside the building, people with machine guns and grenade launchers, and a lot of them, 120 of them, are in the building. The Ukraine Parliament has been displaced, I won't say decimated, but has, in Kyiv, has put forth a new president without an election. And without a full convocation of the parliament, as I said, the Svoboda Nazis are in the vanguard in that movement. And the situation is between two nuclear armed powers at its greatest expanse. And this is not being covered properly. What you can do, if you just want to look at it quickly, if you want to use, for example, a Google News compilation, you can pull up Canada version or other versions, and you can see it more readily there. This would certainly be a time to use your shortwave radio if you haven't lately. If you have a shortwave radio, remember that if you want to get anything, particularly this time of day, you need to run an antenna outside the Faraday effect of your house, and you'll find that you can get many stations that are reporting on the situation. And KBOO News, of course, will be following this. Please stay tuned for more of the Radio Zine, Kathleen Stevenson up next, talking about houselessness. And this has been Press Watch. You're listening to KBOO Portland and all the ships at sea.
Caribou Community Radio is proud to host an open house to say goodbye to our interim station manager, Victoria Stoppiello,
and to welcome our new co-managers, Monica Beamer and Mike Crenshaw.
Please come to Caribou on March 1st between noon and 4 p.m. for greeting and meeting, snacks, tours, and a general celebration of the start of our 46th year broadcasting.
Caribou is located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, a half block south of Burnside in Portland.
Again, this March 1st, noon to 4, here at your community radio station, Caribou. More information can be found at caribou.fm.
Stupid car.
Yeah, it was kind of a POS, wasn't it?
It was such a junker. We were going to donate it to the radio station.
Oh, do they accept vehicle donations?
Yes, that was the plan, you goofball. We were going to donate it to Caribou, but no. Instead, what happens? We leave it in the stupid yard, and then Bigfoot comes.
Yeah, he took it off our hands.
Yeah, he took it. He took our car. It's not like we can deduct Grand Theft Sasquatch from our taxes. We could have taken it off on our taxes if we brought it to Caribou.
Don't let this happen to you. Donate your vehicle to Caribou Community Radio before Bigfoot steals it. For more information, call 877-526-6123 or go to kboo.fm/vehicle.
I'm Kathleen Stevenson, sitting in for Linda Olsen-Osterman on A Deeper Look today. My guests are Chris Meisner and Anne Trudeau, who are both members of Right to Survive, a direct action group that many people know about that educates both houseless and housed people on their civil, human, and constitutional rights. Also with us is Kay Mack, who lives under the Burnside Bridge. Welcome, Chris.
Hello.
Welcome, Anne.
Thanks.
Hi.
And welcome, Kay Mack.
Thank you.
And we are going to be talking about police and government crackdowns on houseless people in Portland and surveillance by law enforcement. The Portland police are increasing their sweeps of houseless people. Kay Mack, you live under the Burnside Bridge, and you experienced a sweep last night. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah. Last night at about 9 o'clock, I was down there on my way to go get some blankets, and the Pacific Patrol was down there.
What's the Pacific Patrol?
They are, I believe they are private security that patrol the parking lot and make sure no one's trespassing. So I was on my way to go pick up some blankets, and they singled me out, stopped me, asked me for ID, asked me what my name was. I refused because I violation of my privacy, I refused. So a Portland police officer came over and asked me for my ID, said he was going to do a warrant check on me, and so pretty much gave me no other option but to give him my ID. So I handed the Portland police officer my ID, and instead of taking my name down and doing the warrant check, he handed my ID right over to the private security. So now private security had all my information, my name, my mailing address, you know. And it's kind of like, well, they trespassed me. Earlier in the day, they said they saw me on camera fixing a bicycle and hanging out in the parking lot, which wasn't true. They said that they had me on camera. So there's a little camera in the corner of the parking lot that doesn't have view over the whole parking lot. So they saw me. They trespassed me. They gave me a citation, asked me if I wanted to sign. I said, no, thank you. Fortunately, I didn't get a copy of it, but... there's another incident that happened with a young lady in a wheelchair. at nighttime, it's real hard to get around on the sidewalk because that's the only place where we can lay down and sleep at and be at. And so, unfortunately, it's real hard for her to get around. So, I mean, they made the private security made a big stink about it, and the Portland police made a big stink about it. So now when she has to get around, we have to pick her up. We have to carry her and carry her a wheelchair from point A to point B because, you know, they trespassed her. And so now after you get that official warning, then next time they catch you in the parking lot, you're subject to arrest.
And so what is the scene down there like? I mean, how many people are down there right in this particular time?
Well, the whole block is filled with sleeping bags and homeless people because, I mean, it's under the bridge, so it blocks out from the rain, the wind. And so there's a lot of us. And lately, you know, the private security has been coming and taking pictures of us and writing people citations, trespassing citations. They've been pretty much just harassing us. I mean...
And who does the private security work for?
I believe they are parking security.
For the parking lot?
Yeah, they monitor the parking lot.
Okay. Let's bring in Chris Meisner, because Chris, you are part of Right to Survive, and you have been monitoring some of the increase in homeless sweeps. Do you want to tell us what your thoughts are on that?
Well, the homeless sweeps, they flat out need to stop. We've pleaded with Mayor Hales quite a few times, and that's pretty much getting nowhere. I mean, we're probably left to go